RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, everyone. Derek Kramer here. Zach Jones also here as the Bills lose 13-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome into the Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. So, yeah, that was a game that happened, and I kind of want my 4 hours back.
Yeah, I don't really know if the weather played too much into that. It was too, at least today, bad offenses just going back and forth to see who could piss their fans off the most. That's kind of how it felt to me.
With two teams all throughout the season that have pissed their fans' faces off.
Love the defensive performances by both teams. I mean, we'll dive into this. The Bills are in the playoffs. They don't have the AFC East. That was somewhat expected,
right,
to be perfectly honest, going into this week that could be the outcome. But it felt like today all of the issues you've seen from the Bills throughout the last 3 months kind of just continued. There was no really new thing to write home about. Allen's performance wasn't great.
Right.
I'm not going to deny that at all. He had some really just boneheaded plays, to be perfectly honest. But I didn't learn anything new from this game. It just kind of continued some of the same issues they've had for the last 3 months.
And one of those issues is, if they don't score more than 20 points, they lose the football game. And this one was a little different in that sense because, well, the Bills' defense actually kept you in it the whole time, and it was the low-scoring game. This was the one where, okay, the Bills' offense is struggling, but the defense kept you in it again. And this time, they kept you in it so well that it was only 13 points you had to overcome.
Yeah.
That's the part that's really starting to like hit me like a truck. It's only 13 points that you had to overcome. That's the problem. It is that it was a small amount of points, something that typically if you score only 13 points in the NFL, you typically lose. And no, the Bills scored 12. The kick by Badgley, it was a low kick. It gets blocked. I would imagine they're probably preying on the return of Matt Prater at this point heavily. and trying to do everything that they can to make sure that Prater's back in the lineup. Because Badgley's missed a PAT in three of his four games. In three of his last four games. I don't know what you can do at this point. But it's not like you're going to get a good kicker out in free agency.
No, like that's the frustrating thing with Badgley now. Is yeah. I do think you have to change it up. You know, frustratingly probably for him.
You just hope that Prater's back and you can
hope that Prater's back because yeah. you kind of can't keep going out there. Because to be perfectly honest, like that's a I'm all for going for two. By the way, at the end of the game, we'll get into that probably.
Right, we'll probably get into.
I'm all for that. Don't kid yourself. Badgley missing the extra point probably played into the decision. Yeah. It probably did, just for the sheer fact of he just missed one, has missed them in the past, and you're sitting there going, do I really want to not have my best player, albeit having a bad game, to not have the ball at a chance to either end this game or lose it?
I understood the logic on both sides. You know what? Let's get into that. I understood the logic on both sides, that McDermott wanted to end this game. I think it is you have guys that are banged up. You need to get the heck out of there. The conditions are still rough on the field. Get out of there as fast as you can. Also, you just scored a touchdown. Why not? All of it's there. I also understand the point of how do you go ahead and everything's working for you. I understand that side of the defense is dominating right now. They've only allowed 17 yards after halftime. So why not allow that dominant performance to continue one more time and give you the advantage? The problem is, the Bills needed another hook and ladder just to move the football. I'm not trusting that anymore. You got into the end zone. End the game. That's the part. Like, I agree with it at the end of the day. I just understood the other side of, why would you do that? You have everything working for you right now. You could probably get them in overtime. I understood it. I still would say I agree with the call that McDermott makes. I just also understand the other side. If you're upset about it, I get it, is really how I'd want to say that at this point is. I get it. And sometimes you win them, sometimes you lose them in that. You want Allen to make a better throw there. It's okay to say it. He had a bad day. He had 260-some-odd throwing yards, and he had a bad day. It's okay to say that.
Yeah, for me, even with Allen having a bad day, I would have gone for it. Really from the start, like I was pretty excited even when Knox's touchdown ultimately gets called back.
Right.
And it sounded like McDermott was going to go for it anyways. I was glad that was the decision. For me, it's one of those, you have arguably the best red zone weapon in NFL history, in top five, and definitely one of the best, if not the best, in today's game. And you're in a spot where you haven't scored much at all day. You're in the position now, you've completely taken this game back when – even though it was 13-0, you kind of had no business winning the game.
Right.
Is escape. I think that's really what a lot of it was, is we're going to escape with a win. We're going to go for two. We'll learn all of the things we need to, but we'll still have the bonus of winning. And it's a bad throw. It's actually a really good play design by Brady. Shakir is wide open. It's a bad throw. I'd much rather them do this than go to overtime. Mainly with overtime, I just don't trust that they would be able to get down there to score again. I don't have any... feelings that the defense wouldn't be able to get it done. The way that second half was going, and honestly the way the Eagles have played a lot this year, because I saw a lot of their beat reporters talking about this too, another half the Eagles offense just disappeared.
They've been bad closers in their losses.
Yeah. It wasn't even that. For me, it was just more, are we just going to hang around and wait for a tie? That neither team is really going to do anything offensively. And you're right to bring up, we're just going to leave guys open to maybe getting hurt again. This game may not mean a ton. Although, again, it ultimately did mean losing today, that the Bills will not win the division. That was sort of expected going in. I mean, it's Quinn Ewers starting for Miami. The Patriots today just emasculated the Jets. I mean, they made it look like...
Watch the Patriots playing for the one seed and lose to Miami. I will punch air.
And that's the thing. Like, the Patriots will still have something to play for, at least we think at this point. We'll see how some of this stuff kind of shakes out. I'm fine with going for two. I have no issue there. I like the gusto to go for the win. I'm fine with that. We hear a lot of callers that talk about, you know, McDermott and the lack of, you know, essentially cojones to go for it, go for fourth down, be aggressive, what have you. That to me is the exact opposite of it. If it works, he's a hero. If he doesn't, he's a loser, right? And I'm glad I'm not really seeing a ton of that. It's just more Allen's got to make a better throw, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's really the basis of it and the crux of it all is how – like, where does it hurt really is how I would understand this to be, is where does it hurt? And the answer is, well, you did not get enough production. I'm looking at a Sunday night football game that in the second quarter, it's 28-21. Like, man, the weather really didn't help out to start that game, because that's where it really affected everyone was the start of the game. There were three punts right away, the Josh Allen fumble that goes 32 yards the other way. But, you know, that's just, that was where I'm like, okay, why are we playing this game in these conditions? It gives ammunition to the build a dome people. There was a lot to it. I'm not going to get into that discourse. But, yeah, I'm proud of the defense is probably the biggest takeaway I'm going to come out of this one. You are dealing with a team that has high-end talent. They've got an absolute smooth brain at offense coordinator. Like, yeah, we have our problems with Joe Brady. It's not Kevin Petullo, and I'm happy for that. I'm okay with that because Petullo is wasting a lot more high-end talent than the Bills could ever right now. And what about Josh Allen? Yeah, I understand that, but they have too many players everywhere in that lineup, and they're
For them to be struggling as much as they do.
To put up 17 yards in an entire half is actually kind of laughable. And they get away with their incompetence.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that's the thing is, if the Bills go on to win this, it's sort of the same thing of you couldn't do anything for 55 minutes of this game the win.
But then it turns to Philly. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't even move the football for 30.
Right.
And that's just as embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got Nick Sirianni walking around like a punk with the, oh, they're not talking now. Who said anything, man?
Yeah, when I saw that and I was sitting there, I'm like, I had to have missed something. And I'm like, this is an AFC-NFC matchup late in the year where it kind of doesn't mean a ton for either of you. Who was talking trash?
It
is what it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's part of his makeup. That's who he is.
Make up whatever you need to there, Nick. You know, I guess you're from around here and I don't, like, does that make us? No, I'm not going to get it.
No, I think he fits Philly like a glove. In all seriousness, I think he fits that team perfectly.
But does that make our area look bad if he's making up stuff?
But
I don't want to tie that in there. That's
we'll get your calls here in just a moment. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on all this. But for me, you're probably also noticing I'm not like furious or anything like that. And it's part because of what I said to start this, which is I didn't really learn anything new. Like, I'm happy for the defensive performance. I think a lot of it has to do, though, with the Eagles and them disappearing in these second halves. And the offense, the issues remain. They can't run the ball, and the passing attack just does not have many threats. Brandon Cooks finally kind of popped off today, but even then it was just too far and few between. I mean, Allen taking bad sack after bad sack. That offensive line, while it is a good unit as a whole, there is not great individual players on there. And I know Deion Dawkins keeps making Pro Bowls, and we like Osiris Torrance and Spencer Brown, have you. None of them are all pro-level talents. None of them really are, if we're being honest, perennial Pro Bowl talents. I know Dawkins keeps making them. He's not really. And it's performances like these where they do go up against a Houston or a Philadelphia who can rush four, and it many times throughout the game today, they look completely outmatched. And that's where my fear has always been of going on the road, going against some of these good defenses like a Denver or like a Chargers, who has a very good pass rush as well. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle that? I don't love the Bills' chances.
The answer is, as of right now, through the games that you've played, not well. You're not going to handle them well.
No, and today was at home. And that's a big thing too. We're talking about their road record and how different they are on the road. Today at home, your second to last game to close out the current Highmark Stadium likely is a huge dud offensively. It's a overall very bad game. You don't really get anything running the ball. Allen finishes with a nice stat line, but it's mixed in there with taking a 21-yard sack, five sacks in all. He has a bad fumble where we're all just sitting there, just throw the ball away. Just throw the ball away.
Or throw it to Hawes or on
do anything.
You're getting that first down on second and two.
And then, of course, the miss on the two-point conversion. He had also some misses throughout the game as well that were just not great.
He has the opportunity when he's tackled at like the half-yard line or like 6 inches from the end zone or whatever it was. Brandon Cooks opens himself up on that right side.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen pump fakes to kind of like try to trick the defender there and get him out of the way. I think he should have just double-clutched and threw it to him. But obviously, we're not in that moment. I can only say that in live time and in live speed. And how Allen has ran for touchdowns before, yeah, why not? I would trust me running the football if I'm that size too. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get ourselves connected to our fans, and that is powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Chris in Lancaster. Chris, thanks for waiting patiently. What you got? Chris.
Hello, can you hear me?
There we go. We got you.
Yes, I got, I don't know, man. What I'm thinking is, why couldn't we score 3 points in the first half? I'm not talking about a quarter or the second quarter. 3 points. If we would have scored at least 3 points, we would have probably won the game. You know what I mean? Because we had to go for this and that. A lot of people want to blame the kicker. I don't blame the kicker. I blame us not scoring any points. Zero the first half. And that's all I'm kind of saying, man.
No, thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate
that. Yeah, I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, that's what does them in. And it's not defensively necessarily that does you in with the slow first half. It's offensively. It's the turnovers. It's the sacks. It's the weird play calling to start the game where both sides decide, hey, it's a monsoon outside. Let's throw it. And both teams start off trading punts.
Yeah. But like you mentioned it, though. Like this is a struggle they fall into kind of routinely in these losses where it's most of their losses are not them being outscored where it's like, man, the defense just couldn't stop them. Like the offense did the best they could. Like last year, that happened. The Rams game is that game
right.
Where they're putting up just wonderful offensive statistics. Their defense can't stop a bloody nose. This year, the losses are New England, 23-20.
Yes.
Atlanta the next week, 24-14, in which they score 3 points in the second half, if I remember correctly.
That is correct.
The Dolphins, 30-13. That is one where you get smacked around. They put up 30, and they're able to just run the ball on you. But the Texans.
But the Dolphins game, just the context on that, is you held on as long as you could, allowing only 16 points before the gates finally
That's
broke.
Right, in the fourth.
And that's when the offense finally was scoring points.
And then Houston, it's 23-19. You're in all of these games, even today, 13-12. You're in the games the entire time. The offense just cannot get it over the finish line. And for many, it's looking back then at the past playoff losses as well, where the Bills have had chances at the end of it's not 13 seconds, the last 2 years, where they have had chances to go down the field and score. And they just cannot get it done. And you can even point to today as well, where they're able to pull it together because of a hook and ladder. But early, it looked like, what are we doing? There's no urgency. There's no oomph. Get going. Let's go. We got to go. There's none of that. It's bad execution. It's bad play calling. And it takes a hook and ladder again this season for them to kind of get going. Funny enough, they lose both games. They actually have a successful hook and ladder, which is insane to
me. By the way, thanks for reminding me of the three play calls prior to the hook and ladder.
Yeah.
Busted screenplay where maybe they could have been flagged for ineligible player downfield. They do not. But that play is read by the defense and not blocked well, and it's blown up. And so Allen has to bury it.
Yeah, funny enough.
Second down. Hand off to Ty Johnson, 2 minute warning.
Right.
Third down, screen again. Philadelphia reads it, floods it, makes the tackle. And you're sitting here going, thanks for the screens, Joe Brady. I really appreciate it.
We keep going to them. And look, every now and then they'll work. A lot of the time, though, it feels like an empty play.
But with
where
two
they're
and
not
half,
getting enough out of it.
2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Your game is on the line, and you are on your own 30-yard line. Let's do the thing that doesn't stretch the field at all or even open anything up. Let's do the thing where it's compacted. And, oh, by the way, not the greatest of success rates this season with them. If it's not Khalil Shakir literally bullying people out of his way, the screen game's not all that – it's not that hot.
No.
It's not.
I mean, perfectly honest, I don't really think they have the athletes to run it.
No.
You know, no offense to Shakir. I don't think he's really that guy.
Well, Shakir can be that guy. Again, when he is bullying people – and refusing to be tackled, that's when you get those 20-plus pop plays on the screen game.
Well, but that's the thing. It takes him bullying people rather than guys are just faster.
Blocking
and they get one block and they're off. And so, like, that's my biggest issue there. But ultimately, like, looking ahead to the playoffs, because they've got this Jets game coming up, and they should be able to smoke them, even if, you know, ultimately what happens next week is Allen goes in, keeps his Iron Man streak going, and Mitch Trubisky goes right in after
Trubisky
the first
could
play.
Probably win that game.
I think, yeah, the Jets look horrendous, and they'll be able to, I think, run the ball fairly well. You can't literally sit everybody. This is not a preseason game where you got just a ton of people on the roster. You just don't. For me, though, you know, getting ready for the playoffs, and this is why I think a lot of us bring up wide receivers so much and the offense so much, is because kind of when the defense needed to show up this year, they did. And going into the playoffs, the best quarterbacks they'll have to go up against are Drake May, who they've done very well against in two matchups, albeit, you know, the first one, Stephon Diggs is able to pop off. They only put up 23. And this last matchup, their second half is atrocious. So it's Drake May, Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, and a hobble Justin Herbert, who himself is hurt and his two starting tackles are hurt. Those are like the best quarterbacks you're probably going to have to play. Stroud is not very good this year at all. Aaron Rodgers is 42, and they look broken. There. And Darnell Washington is probably not going to be in for the rest of the year.
Broke his arm. He's out.
Broke his arm. Yeah, he's done. So for me, like, I'm sitting here going, yeah, like, you're not going to get probably all-world performances at quarterbacks. You may. I'm not saying it's completely out of the realm of possibility, but it's not Burrow. It's not Jackson. It's not Mahomes. My issue is with the offense. Going up against Houston's defense, Denver, albeit injured, but their defense. Jacksonville has a highly athletic, young, fun, flashy defense.
And the Chargers are quietly a good defense as well.
And I just don't know if you have the horses past Allen and Cook to get in, to rattle off three great games.
Can we just mention, you know what? We're going to issue you mentioning other defenses as Brewing Around the League, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of the Buffalo football tailgates. And don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it's a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will break down the game in the morning. And then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon. One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon, followed up by Shope and Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Former Bills center Eric Wood joins the guys at 4 on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day on Mondays on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll take a timeout, come back. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll start taking some more of your calls coming up next here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. You're listening to WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all, and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Reggie Gilliam lines up behind Josh, and it's a shove, and Allen rolling his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Josh Allen finally gets Buffalo on the board with a 2-yard sneak for the score.
Josh Allen, one of his 2 rushing touchdowns. I am the quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Derek went through it there in the update. 23, 35, 262. No passing touchdowns, no interceptions either. Did all of his scoring on the ground. 2 touchdowns there. However, really the big story from Allen was the misses, the fumble, and the sacks. That's really where it came down to. One of those sacks, by the way, 21 yards. I mean, he has taken some goofy, ridiculous sacks the last 2 weeks where you really are kind of at a loss at times. And I know there's probably a part of this being Allen is just trying to make magic, right? At a certain point, you sort of know the roster you have. And I think the penultimate week of the regular season is probably when you should know your roster. And they've had a constant struggle all year.
They cut a receiver.
Yeah. They've had a constant struggle all year at the receiver position, guys getting open. The coaches have mentioned that they're still looking for that group that they can trust to go forward. Cook's probably solidified himself today. But even then, I mean, he wasn't perfect either. He gets open early in that game after already having the first bomb and just turns right when he should have turned left and ultimately goes for an incompletion. Probably should have been a touchdown. But just an all-around, the stats really don't point to the game Allen had. It was a very rough afternoon for him, and really the offense as a whole.
It was a rough afternoon, and hey, that's how it goes sometimes. And the problem that we're having is that it's every loss they've had, It is because they're not scoring. And the defense is doing enough, or at least flexing their muscles in the second half to allow you an opportunity to come back into a game.
And you're sort of never prepared for it.
Yeah.
Really, give flowers to the defense. I would not have batted an eye if someone went, Saquon Barkley is going to go off for 150. I wouldn't have. The weather pointed to it. Barkley's more than good enough, and the Bills' run defense is not good. And yet today, 19 carries for 68 yards for Barkley. That's good for a 3.6 average.
Did well.
They did very, very well.
You did really well considering your weakness. And that's really part of the annoyance.
I mean, the team as a whole, by the way, 26 carries, 82 yards. Good for a 3.2 average.
Yeah, and the Eagles have their inconsistencies, of their own. But as a team, they had 192 total yards of offense.
Not great.
That should win you a football game. If you are putting up a defensive performance like that. A.J. Brown got his in the first half. He really did. He ate up 5 catches, 68 yards. That was his total. But that also ends up becoming his entire game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big deal. An NFC team is probably drooling at that, actually. Not lying. But, alas, the Bills' offense, if you can't get James Cook going, because he only averages 3.7 on the afternoon, if you can't get Cook going, you don't have anything. And when you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, that shouldn't be the case. And
no, Cook should be a wonderful compliment to the game they have. And that's the thing. He should be a wonderful compliment.
He should be the best compliment that you could have.
I think they're going to overcorrect in the offseason. And I don't really say that as a negative, but what I mean is that Keon Coleman today is a healthy scratch again.
I'm starting to wonder if Joshua Palmer looks better in a system that isn't Joe Brady's.
And that may be true as well, but I mean, it is just miss after miss after miss after miss. Khalil Shakir even this year as well has been a super hit and miss for them.
Oh my
for
God.
What he's going to be. So I do imagine they're going to attempt as much as they can to essentially completely restart that receiver room outside of the guys that they kind of need to keep. Khalil Shakir, I think they should anyways. Keon, if they don't get anything for him in the offseason trade-wise, I think they'll end up keeping him. And then Palmer, because of the contract you gave him. Past that, Shavers too. But past those group of guys, it's probably a complete retooling, overhaul of the room, however you want to put it.
I wouldn't even say retooling. Reconstruction of the wide receiver room.
So, yeah, realistically, probably an overhaul.
Yeah, it's a reconstruction. As a matter of fact, with Shakir, his first four catches on the day is for 20 yards. I've got a fun, depressing stat for you. Cody Ford had more yards on one catch.
You can't have that. You can't
then Shakir on his first four, and it's not on the player. That's on the OC. It's on Joe Brady. I've had enough of Shakir having a maximum limit of 5 yards on his routes.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at his
enough.
You look at his year two. Now it's frustrating. The yards per reception is around the same as last year.
Because him, it's yards after catch, though.
Yeah, for him also, it's targets. You know, in the same amount of games. I mean, he's hit the games he played last year. He had 100 targets for 76 catches. This year, he's at 88 targets for 66 catches. Same amount of touchdowns. The success rate is down. The success rate's about the same, I believe. No, it's down from 53% to 45%. And even just his yards per game is down about 10. So they're not able to get him going. I think in also part, you mentioned it, the Brady system, but also who else are you really worried about in the passing game in particular? Dalton Kincaid has missed a number of games this year. So that's not a really constant struggle for them. Kincaid misses again today. He's going to battle that knee injury the rest of the year. I mean, that's just going to be a fact of it. But also to that point too, when all three tight ends are not in, they struggle.
And
they just do.
It's just you need somebody – and. Trust me when I say this. I could feel the wide receiver board staring me down and like I'm getting the chills
right
in my spine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired, boss. I'm so bleeping tired about this wide receiver room failing this team, even in their wins. It's exhausting. It is genuinely exhausting. And I don't... It's to a point. I don't know how to properly balance the corrections. Is it Joe Brady with the style of offense that he plays? Because I don't not pay attention. You can't ignore that Stephon Diggs suddenly wants out after turning into a non-factor when Brady takes over in the offense and then yeets himself out of Buffalo. That's not an accident anymore, because the only time that Diggs does that is usability in a scheme. Is he going to have an impact on an offense or not? And if not, he wants to get out of there. We heard all about how Josh Palmer had these great separation metrics, right? Cool. I haven't seen them.
It kind of doesn't. It hasn't meant anything. I mean, we're still waiting on his first touchdown as a Bill, and this was the guy. I mean, like I know a lot of listeners do bring up Brandon Bean's appearance with Jeremy and Joe. This was the guy that after that appearance, he went and spoke with Tyler Dunn and did his media tour. This is the guy he pointed to of like, no, I did this. See, I did help the wide receiver room because I got this guy. He's going to be a difference maker. He's going to be good. And it has led to kind of he's now just one of the latest receivers that they pick up that now it doesn't have a career year like we were used to seeing for a long time. Instead, it's career lows across the board. It's guys making poor decisions coming to the Bills, which was not the case in Allen's, when Allen first ascended.
And that's not a mistake that these things have been happening over the last 2 years when Brady's been the offensive coordinator. That's not a mistake anymore. That's a trend. That's a pattern, and you recognize it. Like, I want to give Goff, you and I have said it ad nauseum throughout the season of how Bean bought the paint for the target on his back. At some point, you got to look at the OC and go, this ain't it. Thanks for the awesome run game, but if I want Greg Roman, I can hire Greg Roman.
Fair.
And that's pretty much what I've got at this point. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll take Butch on the east side. Butch, how you doing?
Gentlemen, thanks so much for taking my call. I love MSG. I love WGR. So all the fans, get home safe. I love each and every one of you. DC, ZJ, let me just say this. You guys know football. Your eyes don't lie. You know, these players that we just finished speaking about, they have history. Brandon Cook has history. Palmer has history. We watch tape. They know how to play football. We know what the problem is. But at the same time, in Sean's case, he can't make a knee-jerk reaction during the middle of the year, so he got to stick it out and do the best he can with what he has.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Josh Allen, this situation, you know, he made a couple of bonehead plays today, but Josh is Josh. Josh is still a good football player. He's a great football player. I don't say a good football player. But, you know, you put him in a situation where he's unequipped. What I mean by that is you're running this tight offense that everybody's crammed up. Even if Josh want to run, there's no room. If you didn't have Kincaid, but you still started Halls and you started Knox. Instead of go with Brandon Cook, Shakir, and Shavers, and Knox, and Cook, and just spread them out and get some gaps, you had some room. But everything was tight. Even going down in the last 4 minutes of the game, you put him up under center. You know, we lose him. Like, we play, we run into football like we're up 13. And don't get it, I'm glad we got back into the game. And this is my last point about it is, even though, you know, back on this Brady thing, we know the problem. We got to stick it out for what? The next, what, five games or six games to win the Super Bowl? So we got to stick it out. We got to do the best we can with what we have. But after this season's over, it is no hesitation about getting someone like a Matt Nagy or someone else that can go ahead and open up his office and utilize these receivers that we do have, along with bringing new receivers in to get a passing game with this top quarterback we have. We got the best quarterback in the game, and he's sitting there looking at his wristband at 4 minutes in the game. I watched Cleveland and Pittsburgh today, and I actually saw the quarterback, Rodgers, wave off the offensive coordinator. It's like, get out of my ear. I got this. My thing is, you have to trust Josh, and Josh has it, but give him his right personnel and let him play. Now, as far as on the game, money, you got to respect money. You have to respect football. The football team fought hard and got back into the football game. The defense shut them down the second half. Either you're going to trust your defense or you're not. You score a touchdown, and I know a lot of people, they cool with going for two. To me, I'm not looking at the 2 point. I'm looking at the division. Division still was on the line. You could have just kicked the extra point and trust that same defense. And they would have had the momentum. The crowd would have been going bananas. The defense would have been getting up. And all would have been, you give Josh one more shot and just win this thing and go home. Now, that put that on Sean. See, because analytics, we always talk about analytics. It's no way, and you guys know, and you guys are very highly intelligent, the analytics will say you've been down 13 the whole game, you fought your way back, and the 2-point conversion is what analytics tell you to do. No,
Butch, I don't mean to cut you off. We got breaks to catch up on here, so I do apologize for cutting you off here.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah. I love you, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Butch. Appreciate the call. Sorry about that. You know,
I also do think analytics actually would tell you to go for it.
No, yeah, absolutely, 1,000%.
Because it ends the game. There is no more. If you get it, nail it. If you don't, you don't. But there's also a likely chance you lose the game anyways
to the
if
point,
it goes
though,
to overtime.
Butch builds on it of, you know, they're looking for an OC next year probably. And while I shuddered at, you know, the mention of Matt Nagy, you know, we have to start combing up the list anyway. But what he says is right. We do have to endure this for however long the Bills season remains.
And it could be a wonderful postseason.
It could
run.
Be a turnaround. Yes.
And this thing, I don't want to like keep like because I think a lot of because I know I sound negative, especially on social media and what have you. They could go to the AFC Championship. They could go to the Super Bowl because the AFC is weak.
This would be the year.
It just the what you see from the Bills on a week to week basis does point to they probably, not saying definitively, but probably will not be able to put together three very good to great road playoff games to advance to a Super Bowl. Because that's ultimately where they're at now. That is the goal. We're past the point of just having, I mean, listen to how everyone sounds. They are in the playoffs, but if you ask a lot of people based off tonight, it almost feels like the season is over. You know, we are all right. Past that point. The expectations have evolved somewhat frustratingly, but also this is just the nature of the beast. This is how it goes. They have evolved to, no, we need to have tangible evidence, tangible proof that you were one of the best teams of your generation. And right now we have division titles. And that loses its luster very, very quickly in NFL football.
It does. And that's pretty much where we're at this point. It's a confirmation of what has happened in the other losses this year, is really how you can go ahead and look at it. It seems like the offense, when they're down, they're down. The defense, even in games where they have been bad, you look at Baltimore week one, getting run all over, they still make two timely stops in a row to end the game, and it allows the Bills to win the game. For as battered and broken as they are, sometimes statistically and sometimes on the injury report, they find a way to get a timely stop or two. Cincinnati, Burrow's going buzzsaw through them. What happens? The defense makes a couple interceptions, back-to-back drives, turn the game around. It's just more of the confirmation that when the offense is down, they stay down. And it loses you the football game. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you're on hold, stay there as we keep powering on through here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Again, Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. Hey, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th. You're running out of time. Make sure you get in and go to the website and try to enter for the chance at the $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Courtesy of TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We take a timeout, come on back here, and we've got more of the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show.
They got a good defense. That's the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. They had a good plan. They get paid on that side of the football, too. So, again, it just comes down to us executing, making one more play than they did. And obviously, we saw that they didn't make that last play. I didn't make that last play. So, yeah.
Quarterback Josh Allen from the locker room. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. Bills lose 13-12 to the Eagles in week 17. They are now the seventh seed in the AFC, and they are eliminated from division crown contention. The Patriots, officially your AFC East champions. Yay, why did it have to be them? Don't forget that tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe recap the weekend's games and take your calls in the morning. Then it is the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 till noon. One Bills Live follows it up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. Schopen Bulldog take over at 3 o'clock featuring former Bills center Eric Wood at 4. Buffalo Bills football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. And then the good part happens when the Sabres play. I will not stop.
9-0, baby?
I will not stop.
9-0, straight.
What oh, my God. You ever feel like you needed to get something out of your system, and then when you did, you felt much better? Oh, yeah. I've had to be here for 12 hours in this building, be on air for several shows, and not mention much of a peep about the Buffalo Sabres.
And that was the hard part. Everything else was fine. That was the hard part.
Oh, that felt so good, actually. So anyway, 803-0550 is the number to call as we continue to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Max. Max, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
How you doing? Max, Bills fans is 1960 when I was a kid down in Texas now. But listen, I was just wondering, without kicker, Bagley, you know, I don't know. When Prater got hurt here a couple of weeks ago, those quad things could go for about a month. Why don't the Bills take a chance with Justin Tucker? He's only got accusations. He hasn't been convicted of anything. We screwed up when we got rid of Matt Araiza. He was innocent.
I'm not going to get into the worries about that one, Max. I'll put this one quite frankly for you. And I hate saying this, even ignoring the off-field accusation part, he had a 73% field goal percentage last year. There's a reason he's not on an NFL team. Quite frankly, he's done. And that's ignoring the other stuff, and I don't like ignoring
I think
stuff.
He has already worked out with two teams. I think don't quote me on this. I think it was the Colts and the Saints, at least over the last month, once his 10-game suspension was up. And, yeah, again, like if we're going to ignore, there was a lot of women, sexual misconduct, allegations. He was still suspended 10 games, and he wasn't even a particularly good kicker anymore. Like, that's realistically, Max, like what you'd be doing is you're going to bring in bad PR, Michael Badgley. It's not going to be
right.
Any sort of an upgrade.
No.
You're kind of just waiting for Prater to come back, and you would take on a ton of heat.
Yeah.
For ultimately no gain.
For, like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Not worth it even slightly.
Yeah, no. Thanks for the call, but no. And if you want me to give other kickers that are available right now, I'd rather have Younghoe Koo. I'd rather have Rodrigo Blankenship. There are names out there that I'd be like, okay, yeah, it's still your fourth kicker. He's probably going to miss a kick. Michael Badgley's your third kicker of the year. On the depth chart. He's going to miss some kicks.
That's where you're at. I mean, it's really where you're at with it.
You picked up a kicker in December. He's missing kicks. And yeah, you could throw Tucker in there, I guess. But you have a kicker that's missing kicks with bad PR. No, thank you. But appreciate it. You know, thanks for the call. Appreciate the longevity of being a Bills fan. That one's just, you're not reaping much of a reward. You might actually even be downgrading in quality of kicker at this point in his career. So there's a reason that he is not on an NFL roster, and it's not just the off-field stuff. Because in the NFL, it has widely proven, if you're good enough to play football, teams will bring you back. That's the unfortunate reality. Justin Tucker is no longer good enough to get away with that. There you go. 803-0550 is the number to call as we keep going on here through the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. And don't forget another opportunity to let you know that TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence wants to intercept your heating bills. Enter at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. That is quite literally next week. It ends next week. Get in there. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We take another timeout. We got breaks to catch up on. Thanks for everyone that's holding on right now. We'll keep powering through some calls here as we keep going on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. Thanks for being with us on WGR.
Back to pass. Looking. Fires deep over the middle. Did he pull it in for the catch? Holy cow, he did! What a grab! Unbelievable! Brandon Cooks on the reception.
Chris Brown on the call. As Brandon Cooks had his best game as a Bill. Heading into today, by the way, you want more fun, depressing stats?
Sure.
Before I do that, this is the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Here comes your fun, depressing stat. Entering this game, Brandon Cooks had more receptions and yards against the Bills this year than in the five games that he suited up for them.
That sounds about right.
And then today happened.
It was a very good game from him. Really, the one play I'm thinking of that went poorly for him is the second deep shot they take. He cuts right. Allen threw it to his left, and he has to adjust late, and it lands just a little bit past, you know, where he is. And to be fair, probably should have always been cutting left. I don't really think that was a bad decision by Allen where the defender was. I thought that was the right decision. It could have been a great game for him. And to be fair, there was a point there, and I still even kind of leaving this game with it too of – they had some juice in the vertical passing game. They went to the deep shot a few times today.
Shavers down one.
Palmer draws a pass interference as well. I mean, they went to it a good bit against a very talented secondary. Did it lead to many points? No. But there was something to it today where I was like, okay, like, yeah, Cooks is getting open. And at quite a good pop, Shavers is routinely one of their better receivers that just does not get the play that I think he deserves. I know Nate Geary agrees on that too. He might be one of their best, if not their best boundary receiver if he has Nate. But I don't know. There's some to the vertical passing game that, again, didn't lead to much success, but I kind of like that they kept going to it.
And yet I'm looking at a game here in San Fran, Chicago, where deep shots are aplenty in this game. And it is interesting how the Bills, it's like this – almost like a rare sight. And it makes me sad that this is what the offense has become.
Oh, I mean, I was terrified for a good bit there that they were going to get shut out the first time since Allen's rookie year against Green Bay. Right. And part, you know, people that listen to me when I'm on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show or the Nightcap or even in my time on Saturdays, I'm a big, you know, storyline guy, legacy guy. You know, I bring up the idea of like in 25 years, 30 years, documentaries being made about some of these guys. The Elway one just came out on Netflix. You got to check that out. But like a part of me was sitting there and I'm like, it's a small thing. It's a regular season game. But in the era we all live in and we talk about sports in, the idea of Josh Allen at home being shut out, the potential of that. Like it was somewhat, and not giving me anxiety because I'm not on the team. I'm just a fan.
Right.
But I was sitting there like, that should be talked about. That would be a massive story. That'd be both a massive win for the Philadelphia Eagles defense and also a glaring black eye on what has been a very frustrating Bills season. They're probably going to win 12 games, be 12-5. It's a very, very good season. That should be commended. It has not been without its frustrations, and many of them years in the making.
Yes, and that's really the problem at the end of the day is that you need to look at the macro picture sometimes and really check out the scope of it and go, okay, what's really going on here? What's wrong? And why is it not working? Why is it rare to see this team stretching the ball vertically down the field? I don't love it all the time. It's not Madden. That's my philosophy on this. But the other thing that's been missing is the intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that the 2020 season really he shined so well in there. With Brian Daboll, he would attack the intermediate, and it was dangerous. It was the crossing routes, but they were deeper.
Mm-hmm.
It was the crossing routes, and they're attacking the hook and ladder zones. And you can get nasty against the hooks or the deeper flats. You can get nasty with those. And Daboll did, and Allen fit the ball into tight windows. We're watching San Fran right now. I will never forget Josh Allen darting one over Fred Warner, who has perfect coverage and does not make the play.
It's still, I think, inarguably one of Allen's best throws of his career.
And that was in primetime.
Yeah.
Everyone's watching that.
In Arizona, by the way.
In Arizona, against San Francisco. Yep. Yes. Good note to add the detail there, too. We keep getting connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll go to Eddie. Eddie, you've been waiting patiently. Appreciate it. Welcome into the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, guys. Great show. You guys are, you know, right on with some of your points and stuff. And,
thank you.
I enjoyed listening to you guys. You know, I had to work today, right? So I managed to not watch the football game, and I managed to not see the final score. And you two put together something for like a 28-minute clip, right? And the only thing that they did that screwed it for me was that they showed Josh Allen with a dejected look.
Yeah.
So when they didn't get in the end zone on the previous pass, I said, oh no, I thought maybe they weren't going to get in at all or something. And, but then they managed to get in the end zone. And, but like I said, that dejected look, because I was able to skip through it. So I probably actually seen about an hour of the game. Cause like I said, it was about a 28-minute clip. And, but the thing is, I wanted to discuss real quick. If you guys, once I get done, though, if you can leave me on so I can hear you guys.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get dumped off. I appreciate it. But I'll get into it. I would have liked to have said, hey, they only got 17 yards in the second half. Kick the extra point, and they can't. They look inept. I was almost, you know, thinking that they could actually turn the ball over when you're only getting 17 yards. You know, something worse could happen besides just 17 yards in the second half. But they dialed up the right play. It was there. So it was there for the win. So it's hard to say that, you know, that they should have just kicked the extra point and went into overtime and probably might have been able to win it with just a field goal, the way Philly was, you know, so inept in the second half and just the way the Bills defense was, you know, playing. And things like that. So, like I said, it's hard to say because I think they really did dial up the right play. And one other thing I just wanted to say real quick about the Stephon Diggs thing. You know, do you guys have a feeling that Stephon Diggs, when he went on his rant and they were showing him going off you know, I think it was after the Bengals playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear that he was taken out of this offense, you know, by Joe Brady. And do you think that there was the rant was more of a thing that he was saying to Josh, look, Josh, he's not calling my number, but me and you are boys, and you know I'm going to get open. You know, and I know what they're calling for the play, and I'm not the primary guy, but don't you think that you can find it in your way, you know, that me and you know where I'm going to be at on that field, that you can get me the ball, even though that I'm not the primary target on this, you know, on this play or whatever. And that was maybe a lot of the frustration that had Stephon saying, hey, we're supposed to be boys. I mean, when these guys were together, these guys were besties. I mean, you've seen, you know, the interviews after games. I mean, these guys right. were tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wonder if there was just like his saying to Josh, Josh, please, I know that he's not, just for whatever reason, this guy's stupid enough to not call my number, knowing that I have the potential to get over 100 yards a game, you know, which the Bills don't have a receiver that can do that now.
Yeah. Eddie, we gotta get moving here with breaks, but I will keep you on hold and let you listen in on this. Because the Diggs thing is an interesting point. I think you've got your timeline mixed up. That Bengals game, that's still Ken Dorsey. So that's not when that happens. That timeline's messed up a little bit there. That one is a disconnect probably between quarterback and receiver. The only problem with everything that you talked about with Diggs there is we will never know. We are not going to get that answer. Unless Diggs wants to be brash enough when he's done playing to like give us a tell-all or something.
I could see it.
I'd read it.
I could see it.
We're never going to get the answer. It is going to be forever a mystery for all of us, and I hate that. As for, you know, you acknowledge both sides of the going for it, and I do want to question a small notion of you got the right play call. The Eagles did too. They got the blitz. They got through. Allen's throw is pressured. That means Philadelphia did something right, too. Because it's another unblocked guy. And that's been a problem this year. There's been a lot of these undiagnosed blitzers or free rushers that part of it's on Allen, you have to call the protection schemes. But part of it's also on the blocking schemes that Brady, if you're not getting protection with five, which is what they like to predicate, you got to do more. You got to allow for a chip.
Yeah.
And there's another free rusher. Allen rushes the throw, and it affects him, and he misses.
And those free rushers, that's been a problem constantly this year. I mean, you can bring up the Houston game because they take 8 sacks in that game. By the way, 35-35 here on Sunday Night Football.
What a banger this game is.
Swift in for the score there as we're talking. But Houston, 8 sacks. It seemed like the Bills never adjusted. Even tonight, it's only 5 sacks, but it never felt like the Bills actually adjusted. They just were starting to win some of their matchups a little bit, or Allen gets the ball off before the blitz gets home, what have you. It never actually felt like, because Derek, you bring up the point of like, okay, we're not being able to pluck a 4-man rush with 5. We need to bring people. They're not bringing anybody else.
It's not 4-man. It's when they're blitzing.
It's when they're blitzing.
Josh Allen usually kills the blitz in his career.
He's been awful this year with
this year, he's been sacked 40 times. That's already a career high. He probably doesn't really play the next game. So it is a career high.
Yeah.
And it's probably getting it at 40.
It's just, it's been so frustrating because last year, a big calling card for them was they didn't take sacks, both Allen and the offensive
14
line.
14 in yeah. 17 games.
And now they're already at 40. And the last 2 weeks, he has been taking some Looney Tune level sacks. You see the one that borderline is a safety against Cleveland. Then tonight,
right.
a 21-yard sack against the Eagles. It's just they're not handling the free rushers very well. They're not handling 4-man rushes at all very well because that just becomes one-on-one matchups. And that's where the unit as a whole is good. The individuals, not as good as the unit. They are a perfect example of an offensive line. It is more about the continuity and the trust they all have together, where when it becomes those one-on-one battles, it can be tough. Now, with all that being said, they handled Myles Garrett very well the week prior.
And that was, we're going to run away from him. We're going to do quick passing. We're going to just run the football today, actually. They struggle offensively in the second half. So that's not an accident either. It's not Pittsburgh scoring 6 points against Cleveland, but, you know, they struggled against Cleveland a little bit in their own right. 803-0550 is the number to call. As we keep going on here, we got to catch up on some more breaks and continue keeping on here with the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram overtime show. Real quick, A reminder, the Bills falling to the 7 seed, which means that if the season were to end today or if there's no real changes within the expecteds, Buffalo's taking on New England. If the Chargers win against Denver, where LA doesn't really have much to play for, if Houston wins, if Jacksonville wins, and then New England can do whatever they want, well, actually, they'd be competing for the one spot. But right now, as it sits, entering week 18, the Bills will take on the New England Patriots. It would be, I do believe we're looking at what? The Jaguars would be hosting the Chargers now, while the Texans moved up to the 5 seed and will play insert AFC North team here. So, well, that's riveting TV. Brewing Around the League brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of the Buffalo football tailgates. When we come back, we'll keep going with you guys. If you're on hold, stay there. We're trying to get through and trying to power through as much as we can, getting connected with all of you here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show.
Makes the handoff play action. Back to pass, has time. Looking deep down the field. He's got Cooks, and he's got it! Caught at the 32-yard line. Brandon Cooks, welcome to the party!
One of the better plays there from Josh Allen to Brandon Cooks, and we're going to use that as our eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. We keep plowing along here on the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. Thanks to everyone that's been getting connected with us. That is powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Don't forget, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. We've been catching up on a lot of breaks. I actually don't even know how many we've gone through at this point. We've been frantic.
Yeah, it all gets lost.
We're powered in.
It's a school night. We're staying up late.
It's a school night.
Although
but we're
pretty
getting
sure it's
done.
Still winter break. Actually,
we are getting it done.
By the way, Sunday Night Football. Now this is why I wish the Bills would have won, because it always is tougher to just kind of lock into football when your favorite team loses. I'd feel the same way in college with Texas and what have you. But this Sunday night game, 35-35, Bears, 49ers. And there is still something to play for both of them. I think they're both still alive in the one seed. The Bears have already locked up the NFC North. But, man, it's been a gem of a game.
What do you say? We round out these group calls here.
Let's do it.
As we get connected with our fans. First, we'll go to Mike in Buffalo. Mike, welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, how's it going? I'm sorry you caught me just as soon as I took a bite of my sandwich right there.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's my fault. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate
no problem.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
David Collin.
Now, what I was really curious about is what's the longevity of somebody like Josh Allen? Because the more I see him out there, and don't get me wrong, amazing quarterback. He's got an amazing girlfriend. But, you know, sometimes when he's out there, he's looking like Carson Wentz. And he's trying to extend these big plays. He's a big guy just like Carson Wentz. I just kind of feel like he's Carson Wentz a little bit out there.
I mean, that's probably who I would compare him to most when he was coming out of Wyoming.
That's not wrong, really.
Wentz's biggest problem was that he never developed past that fourth year.
No.
He throws for 4,000 yards, doesn't have a single, 500-yard receiver. His fourth year is one of the more impressive ones in recent memory.
It's where he should have won MVP, and then he tears his knee, and then it's over.
Well, that's 2017. That's his second year.
Yep.
33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. That's the one he should have won the MVP. 27 and 7, 4,000 yards. He was great his fourth year. However, it's the next year where there's just a tailspin drop. And 15 interceptions, 16 touchdowns. They draft Hurts that offseason. It sounded like a lot of Wentz, too, was more stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
However, they're both big guys, 6'5", 230. That's who you look at and go, you draft that guy and you hope he can figure it out.
Yeah.
Go from raw to good because all of the potential's there. In terms of Allen's longevity and the player he is, I've said this, I know definitely on the air at least for a year, if not more. I think 35 to 36. I think that's really the window you're looking at. The health science and all that stuff as extended guys' careers. Allen, though, has played with a lot of injuries. He has the Iron Man streak going, but he's had the elbow injury. He's had a shoulder injury. He has the foot injury now.
Breaks his hand last year jumping over a dude.
Again, these are not, you know, crippling injuries that are...
It's not Wentz tearing his knee.
Exactly. These are not going to be long-term. And that's the thing, too. Wentz, his career does take a turn when he can't move as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's the back as well. You know, we haven't seen anything like that from Allen, and hope that never happens. But I'd also tell you right now, guys like Lamar, it's not really the running. He takes a lot of his hits in the pocket, and he's picked up bad injuries. And I tell you now, I think he's probably got 3 to 4 more years of elite play. Past that, I have no idea.
And Jackson's a weird case, too, in terms of, like, you know, he'll get sick every now and then. And it's like, dude, man, I wish you could catch a break. I really do. And sometimes that's just how it has been for him. And keep things going here, and we'll go to Eric. Eric in New Jersey. Welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Hey, Bills fan since 72. I've seen a lot of football over the years, and what I struggle with is I don't think we get any smarter. I watch these games, and if you look over the past couple of years, at least 2-3 years, so many of the games that the Bills end up losing are close games, and we somewhere along the way, we usually have an opportunity for a short field goal that we don't take, and you find that it ends up costing you. You know, points, points, points. I always feel like, boy, get the points when you can. I think we had another opportunity today. We were down 13-0. And I know it looked like, wow, we got to score a touchdown. We're down 13. If we would have kicked the field goal there, things, you know, most likely would have played out a little bit differently. And I think that happens so often, and I don't think we take that into consideration enough. I just would also like to add, I know we've been talking a lot about the 2-point conversion, and I don't know, you know, I'm a coach as well. I'm a high school coach, coach a couple different sports, basketball, volleyball, and I don't like to see a game come down to one play, because so many different things can go wrong. Mm-hmm. A bad read, you know, a bad call. So, boy, that's where I say, man, let's tie the game. And as you look in the NFL, we have more and more teams that are being aggressive. I don't think necessarily being smarter, but being aggressive. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why Detroit's not even in the playoffs this year. Because if there's somebody who's aggressive, it's Campbell.
It's Dan Campbell.
And I've seen it happen to the Ravens over the past few years, going for two, gambling. And I see that happening. And I know a lot of people say Mike Schaub earlier tonight said he'd go for it 100 times out of 100. He'd go for the two. But then it's only one play. So one play doesn't go your way. You lose the game. Sure, if one play goes right, you win the game. I'd rather see it play out over a series of plays. And if you go overtime, at least you feel like you had a chance to have the offense and defense both have something to say about it. So wondering your thoughts on those couple of things.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I appreciate the call.
Eric, I totally get the point. Like, I think bringing up Dan Campbell, he's probably the perfect one to bring up for this.
You know who's another good example? Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley as well.
That was one who lived and died by it.
And then immediately did a whole flip, and it ultimately kind of is a big reason why he's fired. They kind of changed the identity of the Chargers there. But you go to Campbell 2 years ago now when they're in the NFC Championship game at San Francisco.
That's right.
Disastrous for him. They go out on their sword, right? I mean, like, that's their identity. We're going to go for it on fourth. They're going to be aggressive. But they kind of blow the game because they keep going for it on fourth, and they're not converting. And there's a certain – I think there is something correct to that, of maybe being too aggressive at times. For me, and where I'll sit as a Bills fan with Josh Allen a quarterback, I do agree with Mike. I would have gone for two 100 times out of 100 because I do want it to come down to one play. I don't know if I'm going to trust my defense to stop A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith again and do exactly what they've been doing in the second half again.
You are
I got down
a heavy
there.
Lift.
Yeah, I got down there. We finally are starting to put together an offense, and I've got Allen a quarterback. Go end it, big boy. You're the MVP of the league. Let's get out of here. Let's lick our wounds, but at least we got a W.
I do think that it does bring up a trend about, like, aggression.
Right.
And sometimes it is a little over-aggressive sometimes.
And that's the thing. Look,
everything always has context.
But I'll always look at it like this. If I'm on the other side, what do I want them to do? If I'm an Eagles fan in that situation, absolutely I want you to kick the extra point or the field goal or, you know, whatever.
Give me a chance.
Give me a chance. To Eric's point, give the defense an offense chance. Why? If I'm an Eagles fan, that's what I want you to do. I want to have a shot here. I don't want to just be up to my defense, who's now, in the last 10 minutes or so of the fourth quarter, has finally allowed the Bills to come alive. It's the same with a lot of these fourth downs. We talked about this with the Eagles coming into this game, how often they go for it on fourth down. That's terrifying. Now, all of a sudden, the idea of third and five, third and six, and they run the ball isn't we're getting out of here. Oh, that's just a stupid play. It's more just setting up fourth and manageable. You know, third and ones, third and twos, statistically, all you have to do is complete a pass and you're probably going to get it just based on where, you know, how passes go.
How you draw
You at least gain a yard or two on most pass plays. So if you can get a completion, you probably convert that down. It doesn't change for fourth down. The only thing that changes is you don't get another play after that. I think that's what a lot of teams are looking at. It's just they're not having it come down to one play. They're looking at the numbers and going, yeah, this puts you on the back foot much more, and it keeps the ball in our quarterback's hand. It keeps us continuing to move forward. There is too much. I don't disagree with that, and that's why I want to bring up the Dan Campbell point of, yeah, he kind of hurt them in the NFC Championship game. And to that same point, he mentions at the end of that game, this may have been our best chance. And now you look at this year, they're not even in the playoffs. Boy, and they collapsed during the second half of the year. Were the Bills? Have been one of the more aggressive teams in football, and they keep making the playoffs.
Even then, how does the Patriots game start? McDermott punts it a couple times. McDermott backfires on him, but
yeah,
he's not all the way aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. It's context, and it is something that... And while I do understand the fear of it, of like, you know, it comes down to one play, at the end of the day, no, it doesn't. That's how it ends. It ends on one play. There were a lot of mistakes this team made that they could have had. If Allen doesn't have that wacky fumble, they're probably making a drive down to get a field goal. Guess what? You lost by one. Done. There's a play right there. Allen not seeing Cooks in time on the right, and he is stopped inches shy of the goal line. That's one. That's another play. Badgley. The angle's a little too low on that kick. It gets blocked. That's a play. There are multiple plays that you can look at throughout a game, and it doesn't boil down to one play. It just ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. Real quick, I'm going to take a moment to have our station identify ourselves here, as this is WGR Buffalo, and we'll take 10 seconds to pause for station identification.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
And with that, we'll wrap up this segment by staying with our phones and getting to Scott. You've been waiting patiently. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Overtime Show. What you got?
Thanks, guys. I'm down here in Greenville, South Carolina, but I certainly still follow the Bills. I had one question, and that's it. On Gabe Davis, I thought he was he wasn't your number one receiver, but I thought he was a two or three at least. He's got good size, good hands. He and Josh Allen, I always thought, had a good chemistry going his first tour with the Bills. He comes back now, and what has it been, six games? And they don't even activate him, and we're left with these, smaller receivers. I think on a day like today, Gabe Davis could have really helped the team out, and Allen, especially over the middle of the field and so forth. But what are your thoughts?
Scott, I'm glad you mentioned Gabe Davis here, and thanks
for the
call.
Same.
Allow me to answer
been
this.
A loss.
Allow me to answer this. How did Gabe Davis's tenure end with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
It was a donut every other game. In particular, when did those donuts start showing up more frequently? Joe Brady takes over for Ken Dorsey. The offense doesn't predicate outside receivers. That's what it is. And I...
It doesn't even really predicate just receiver production in general.
Yeah.
They're big explosive.
The tight ends are not in. Mm-hmm. They kind of stink.
Their big explosive games come when all three tight ends are healthy and they get Kincaid or Knox going.
And sometimes both.
But like I look at even guys, not just Gabe Davis, but Elijah Moore, who I was part of, you know.
Oh, you were part of the
fan
truth.
Club. Like I am still somewhat of an Elijah Moore truther. But
he tweeted repent today, by the way.
Yeah. He's part, though, of that group that I mentioned in the first hour of it's kind of now a bad career decision to come to the Bills, at least this current version of the Bills, and try to, you know, well, with Josh Allen, this is going to go great. No, the last 2 years has actually been a net negative for many of these guys leaving former teams or being a free agent and going and picking the Bills. Moore is maybe like the perfect example of that because he was building off, you know, pretty solid seasons with Cleveland, a bad Cleveland team at that. You know, justifying a ton of targets, the yards look good, and you thought, great, he's going to be with Allen and watch him flourish. And instead, they can get him on jet sweeps and a few deep passes every, like, other month. It kind of felt like he was just a complete non-factor. I've already mentioned the Josh Palmer thing. They signed him to a 3-year deal, good money. We're still waiting on the first touchdown, and we're going into the last week of the regular season.
Jackson Hawes has caught more touchdowns than Gabe Davis and Josh Palmer.
You know, and so, like, that's where we're at. Look, the offensive numbers looks good. I mean, they're a top five scoring offense in the league. They're one of, if not the best rushing attack in football. But your eyes tell you what you need to see about the passing attack. It's either a horrific marriage, and someone in the family needs to get involved and separate these two, or it's one party way, way more being the problem than the other. I think it's more of a mix. I think it's not great talent and a bad OC when it comes to scheming up the offense, or the passing offense in particular. But I can absolutely hear arguments that it's all Joe Brady or it's all the receivers. I could absolutely hear that because there have been games both ways where I've thought, no, one outweighs the other. But and I think it's probably closer to a bad marriage.
Contextually, it is getting to a point where you can kind of adjust the levels each way, like how much of it's the roster and the players and how much of it's the scheme. And on a game-by-game basis, it does seem like that's a switch that you can toggle a little bit.
Real quick, Carson Breber of Volume Sports, he tweeted this out about the Bills. With Dalton Kincaid, they're 9-2, averaging 30.1 points per game and 6.1 yards per play. Without Kincaid, 2-3, 23 points per game, 5.4 yards per play.
Kincaid's our Rasmus Dolly.
There is a major difference there. And I don't even think it's necessarily just Kincaid. I think it is purely the fact of having the three healthy tight ends and them just being able to run the offense exactly how they needed to. And that's a lot.
Something about Brady that I'm really starting to like pay attention to is even there are games where he just does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wins, it's kind of funny. I think of Dallas a couple of years back.
Pittsburgh this year,
where they said they ran duo 26 times. Cool. It also shows me a coach that doesn't like to adjust much.
And just kind of keep rolling with the punches.
When it comes to macro or micro, whether it be in the quarters of a game or throughout the season,
mm-hmm.
with Kincaid out, they don't do well. And that's not an accident anymore. So that's how it is. Take a timeout, and when we come back, we will get ourselves into the locker room. We'll hear from Josh Allen as well as Sean McDermott. To close things out here on the Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show, Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you. Thanks for hanging around with us all night tonight here. As the hysteria died down, you know, we got a lot of good balanced takes from a lot of the callers here today. So appreciate you guys, everyone that called in and reached out here today. Don't forget, tomorrow on WGR, it is a Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will recap the weekend's games and take your calls in the morning right at 6 a.m. And then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 till noon. One Bills Live follows it up with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at 12 o'clock. Shelton Bulldog at 3 p.m. Former Bills center Eric Wood joins them at 4 p.m. on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. But not any Monday Night Football. Why? The Buffalo Sabres are going to look to make it 9 in a row. Get geeked up like I am, you weirdos, or fellow weirdos. I'm a weirdo. Zach's shaking his head at me right now. And as we do, we get ourselves into the locker room. But before that, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today. And as we get ourselves ready to go for the locker room, Zach and I will be back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on Tuesday, and we hope to hear more from you then. But until then, we'll leave you with Josh Allen, as is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Take us through the last play there. It looked like we had him. What exactly happened there?
Yeah, I just missed. Rolling left. Got to give him better ball.
You guys had a little extra time to decide to go for two. Just what were those conversations like when you were getting ready for that play?
Just getting to a play that we like. Again, it was there, and I got to make it.
How much did your foot impact you?
Zero.
You guys offensively, good defense. What took you guys a while to start putting together drives that gave you a chance to score points?
Better. Got to be better at the details. Couldn't tell you exactly. Got to go in and watch this and learn from it.
Does the reality hit you that you're not going to win the division now, first time in a long time?
Yeah. That sucks, not giving ourselves a chance. You know, we're still in the playoffs, and that's the main thing.
How are you feeling in terms of your foot or ankle or anything? Did anything get aggravated because of the?
Run in the first quarter off the QB draw. It seems like y'all kind of went way with that, especially like on third and one. Like, did that ever occur, like to try to get that going again?
It occurred, but just trying to fill out the game and, you know, just running what's called.
How much does, like, bubble screens take away an element of your game?
What do you mean?
Like, if you're throwing the ball laterally, it don't give you a chance to really stand the field, work a quick progression, and make a clear-cut decision from the pocket.
Those have been really good for us. I don't think it takes anything away from us. It adds another element that people have to think about.
Josh, you say this today, you said it before, we're running what's called. Is what's being called good enough?
Absolutely. We have to execute.
What did Brandon Cooks give you guys today?
He gave us some juice, some downfield passing game. Made a really good catch there in that fourth quarter. We're going to need more of that moving forward.
The third.
What did Philadelphia do, you know, defensively that kept you guys out of rhythm on game?
Well, they got a good front. They got a good defense. That's the defending Super Bowl champs for a reason. They had a good plan. They get paid on that side of the football too. So, again, it just comes down to us executing, making one more play than they did. And obviously, we saw that we didn't make that last play. I didn't make that last play. So, yeah.
We can see the frustration, obviously, but the belief in your coaching staff to go for it. What does that mean to you? And understanding, obviously. You guys still have games to be played.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. Again, we can learn a lot from this experience. Would rather won and learn from that too. But again, I got to make a play.
That was Josh Allen from the locker room, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. So, for my co-host Zach Jones, for my producer Tanner Saunders, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been the Transtown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Bills lose to the Eagles 13-12. Buffalo Football Monday. Jeremy and Joe gets things started at 6 a.m. I wouldn't say bright and early, but definitely early. Not so bright at 6 a.m. here on WGR. Have a good night, everyone.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart.
That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.